Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining me today is my special guest, author, satirist, and cultural arsonist, Joe Wenke, author of You've Got to Be Kidding, who has a lot of questions about the literal nature of the Bible, or perhaps the poetic license seemingly taken by the authors of the Bible. Joe has written a provocative and funny investigation into the oldest and best-selling book of all times, which is the Bible, written, I believe, to awaken people to new ways for perceiving divine messages or understanding stories from the Bible. I think this book is a call to help restore our sanity, give us a clearer view of how an updated perspective of religious beliefs and interpretations of ancient stories might better serve personal and global evolution, and maybe perhaps help us to realize what might be the real intention for the stories in the Bible and for religions to witness. The real intention, I believe now and always, has been the search for the truth of our beginnings and our divine connections to universal energy, so we can become more refined human beings and avoid human mistakes of judgment. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Cheryl. What a wonderful introduction.
Is that what
you
had?
you really captured the spirit of what I'm trying to do. Thank you so much.
Well, because it is the spirit of this show also, to have people try to understand that sometimes what religion is all about is bringing people together and not alienating them and creating prejudice. So, yeah, that's what it should be. Now, Joe, let me tell our listeners a little about you, okay?
Sure.
You were born the oldest of 11 children in a strict Catholic family in South Philadelphia. Now, that's quite a flock, and it probably was quite a responsibility for you as the oldest child. Can you tell us how that early beginning influenced your thoughts about God, religion, the Bible, and how it led you to write this book?
Sure. Well, yes, I was brought up in a very strict Catholic family, 11 kids. We didn't have much money, a tiny little house. I don't even know how we fit in there. But I found myself being very inquisitive from an early age. I mean, ironically, when you're in a really big family, even though the house is crowded, you end up having a lot of time to yourself because you're basically ignored. You know, there are just so many people there. So I was always a thinker, and, you know, from the time I was 11 or 12, I just started questioning things. I go back to the days, you know, that George Carlin used to create such great humor about, the days of Catholic schools when they were sort of like penitentiaries. And everything was very oppressive and repressive, and I just felt, this cannot be right. I mean, there needs to be another way of thinking about life, about, you know, the origins of the universe. It can't be about, you know, in Catholic terms, the catechism. It can't be these prescriptions about what's right or wrong. It can't be, you know, that we're always going to be feeling so bad and guilty about ourselves. So, you know, I was always thinking about how to develop my own point of view. And at the same time, I was always very interested in pursuing education. Mm-hmm. I was actually the first person in my family to go to school. I sort of wanted to please my parents. So I went to the University of Notre Dame, you know, which was sort of the Catholic dream in those days. And then I continued going on and on, got my Ph.D., in English. I turned my PhD dissertation on Norman Mailer into a book called Mailer's America. So I was always a thinker and a writer. And I had been looking really for a couple of years at trying to find a new way of writing about life experiences, writing nonfiction in a humorous way, writing about things that were important to people. You know, I own an event marketing company. I have a family. I can't travel the world as a journalist. So, and everyone wants reality these days. And so the question was, what do I write about? And the odd thing was, I just woke up one morning, and the first idea that occurred to me was, I'm going to read the Bible, and when I find something funny, I'm going to write about it. And I walked over to my kitchen table where my laptop was. I downloaded an electronic version of the Bible, so I was already in a 21st century state of mind with the electronic version. Started reading, and when I got to the Adam and Eve story, it just struck me as so funny. And I wrote about it. I wrote a little sketch. And what happened after that was I just continued reading the Bible, and any time one of these, you know, amazing classic mythical stories that so many people these days unfortunately take literally, when they struck me as funny, I just wrote about them, and it was like writing emails. I wrote them really fast. I hardly changed a word. And I found that I was, you know, sort of getting into the depths of the meaning about the Bible, but doing it in a funny way. And I think to your point, the stories are inspiring as myths, but if we read them literally and we try to use lessons from those literal readings of the Bible to restrict how people think, then it's not liberating, it's not inspiring, and it leads to people using the Bible to justify their own bigotry. So that was the other reason I wrote it. I sort of wanted to point out not the absurdity of the Bible as poetry and myth, it's inspiring, but the absurdity of a literal reading of the Bible, and to call out people who try to use it to justify their own bigoted points of view.
Joe, I absolutely agree with you. And most of the guests on my show have also discussed as children having observed religious rituals. We were so amused because we had a sense, a deeper soul sense, that this was just not right. And we all have gone on to learn what we can to show people that all religions profess to lead us to God or the beginning of life. And I believe they should be thought of as a source of goodness and truth and righteousness. But somehow religions and belief systems and strict religious leaders often forget to realize their own human limitations or their limited understanding of divine will, and they show a controlling, a vengeful God force. And that's already clearly a human and not divine interpretation, because religion at its best should be a unifying force, letting us remember we all come from the universe, the same universal life force, and should be one with everyone. And that would end prejudice and all the other problems that religion tries to alleviate, but in fact really continues to continue to keep it going. Now, you attended, I know, a long line of Catholic schools, including, you just mentioned, the University of Notre Dame mm-hmm. and Penn State, and you received a PhD in English from the University of Connecticut. So with all this continued education, you found, I know, your religious path was altered, and I think perhaps you started to doubt some of the beliefs that had been implanted within you as a young boy. Is that so?
Yes, and, you know, to your point, as soon as religion turns negative and it divides people, or as soon as people think that they have a version of the truth that is the one truth, you know, the one true Catholic Church, mm-hmm. or fundamentalists who think that they know the truth, that's when you know they've gone wrong. And really, I think that religious thinking, like other investigations, philosophical investigations into the purpose of life, the meaning of life, they should be expansive, they should be inclusive, there should be a positive energy behind them. In fact, I've been finding recently that the best way to tell if somebody's true and authentic is just by their energy. How do they come across?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, specifically about the Bible, and it's become, you know, really more and more part of our political discussion. The religious right uses the Bible to express bigotry against gay people, against transgender people, to continue the whole idea of the subordination of women. And we know that that's not right. It's dividing us as people. And it's blaming people and making people feel bad about themselves. And so, you know, my book uses humor to try to call that out. It takes this kind of playful premise, which is if you read the Bible literally, you'll get satire, not fundamentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get a sense of humor.
Joe, you just mentioned something about how there has been discrimination in the Bible against women and people who are different from what the leaders or political people thought would be appropriate. And I want to read something from your book that fuels mm-hmm. this discriminatory behavior. In the chapter, The Bible and Women, you wrote,
yes.
God thinks the way it is written in the Bible that women should be subordinate to men and worth less than a man. And there are examples throughout the Bible, such as God actually telling Moses how he values men and women in monetary terms. For example, a man from the age of 20 to 60 is worth 50 shekels of silver, and women of the same age are worth 30, and boys from the age of 5 to 20 are worth 20 shekels, and girls 10, and babies under a certain age aren't worth anything, whether male or female. And then in the New Testament, you say, Paul delivers pronouncements that continue to assert from the Old Testament the subordination of women. Now, I personally do not believe God delivered any of this doctrine. It came from men and their search for control of people and money. And I believe Jesus and other messages, as you say later, you go on to talk about some of the loving thoughts of Jesus and mm-hmm. other messengers of God as a son of God, as we're all sons and daughters of God. And God has loved and honored women and children and every living thing on this earth. And he's been trying to show us forever how to behave and bring more fairness to the human condition, possibly not through religion, but through higher consciousness and how we should behave as we evolve into better human beings. Right?
Well, absolutely the case. What I was saying before is when you read a pronouncement putting down anyone, whether it's women, gay people, transgender people, people who are different, putting down Samaritans, you know, because they're a different ethnic group, you know it's wrong. And yet those types of ideas are being expressed daily. We see them from different political leaders. Mm-hmm. Rick Santorum and Michelle Bachmann, it was a big part of the political discussion, particularly with the Republican Party. But we know those things aren't true. And, you know, that's why I wrote that chapter called Jesus is Cool. And I was contrasting him against the Old Testament God. And, you know, the fact that he was able to express emotion. And I say at one point, well, you know, the Old Testament God never cries, but when John the Baptist is murdered, Jesus goes off by himself to a desolate place. And when Lazarus dies, Jesus cries even though he's going to bring him back to life 10 minutes later. That's cool, I say. It's also very human. So I think we have to go back to our understanding of what constitutes humanity, what brings us together. It's our commonality. It's not our differences. And so even if a book is sacred, and I think we need to be aware of that word because it means don't question, we do need to question when we read pronouncements and prohibitions that discriminate against people, and we need to speak up because the people who are discriminating are not shy about speaking up.
Right. And you mention in your book the bad guys, and they were in Jesus' time even as they are in today's time. And in showing Jesus' humanity or any human being's humanity, empathetic nature, love of people and life, you are getting to the heart of what the Bible is about in its most beautiful aspects, the Psalms that may have been inspired by higher energy or God, and then the stories, which are definitely mythological and, as you say, cannot be taken literally. They're just trying to show us moral ways to see what's not right so we can find our way to be more beautiful people. And would you tell us something about the bad guys? I like the way you wrote it. I have it written down
yeah.
here. You know some of these bad guys that are still around.
Exactly. I think that's one of the revelations about reading the Bible and what's great about reading it. You read about situations that seem to be far removed from what we experience today, but they're really not. So who were the bad guys then? Well, they were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests. But they were people that we recognize today. Some of them were bureaucrats, and some of them were politicians who want things to be bad so that they can gain more power themselves. Or something that we're all familiar with when we're watching cable talk shows, the politicians who won't answer the question that they're given but have to make a speech. You know, and they're the people who choose laws and rules over people themselves. They're people who want you to fail. And so I think that's one great way to read the Bible or read the story of Jesus, when you see the people who opposed him. Another really striking thing, and again, this is kind of the neat thing about reading the Bible. You think you know it, and you go back just like a story of valuing people in terms of money. I didn't realize that was in the Bible. And I had forgotten that there's this passage telling the story of Jesus returning to his hometown and being driven out of the town. He wasn't accepted by his own neighbors.
Well,
they didn't
appreciate. You know why he wasn't accepted? Because he was asking them to look within themselves for their own personal truth and to make their own personal connection to spirit or God through prayer, meditation, or as I am an intuitive Reiki master and healer.
Yes.
How do you think Jesus learned to do what he did with his healing work? And he received messages also from spirit telling him where he had to be and what he had to do. How do you think that happened? Do you think it's just because he was the Son of God, or perhaps because he was a very educated, he traveled, he had teachers, and he learned to do things that are possible when you understand energy and how the laws of energy work to manifest and create a better life personally and for others? Do you think that may be a possibility of what was going on with him?
Yeah, I speculate in a playful way about Jesus the miracle worker, and I say, you know, maybe he had a Harry Potter period and he was practicing with some of the, you know, miracles that took place in the Old Testament. What I'm really saying there is obviously he went through an evolution of his own.
Yes.
It's hidden from us. We don't really know, but we can, I think, be certain that he was very sensitive, he was very observant, and he had a lot of courage, and he was able to stand up and speak out, even if it meant that he wasn't going to be accepted, maybe by his own family, by friends, by other people, maybe people who are jealous of him. Who does he think he is?
Yes.
We all experience this in our own lives, and I think the key is that you have to believe in your own perceptions. You have to believe in yourself. You have to find your own voice and speak out, even though some people who are close to you may not understand. I mean, for example, you were talking about my family. Number of my brothers and sisters know I've written this book, and they're upset about it, even though, so far as I know, they the ones who are upset haven't even read the book, because they think, you know, I'm doing something that I shouldn't do. I'm making fun of the Bible. Family members who have read the book.
You're not really, you know, Joe, you're really making fun of the Bible. You're trying to help people learn to think for themselves and know that they are just stories written by men. God did not put
exactly his
finger to the page and write every story.
No.
He may have inspired some of the most beautiful thoughts, the creative or the poetic verses in the Bible, but the stories have a definite human spin to it and a controlling and political and religious need to get something by making people fearful. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, and so has every one of my 65 guests on this show. We're all trying to do the same thing. It's not about religion necessarily. We're all trying to find our way to the greatest peace and love and compassion that exists within each of us if we allow ourselves to find that divine spark that connects us to all of life from the beginning of time. Call it God, call it universal energy. As a Reiki practitioner, when I work with a person and a person goes into an extreme state of peace and quietness and they open their eyes after a session and look at me with such love, they have found that spot. And it's not through the words. It's through the energy and their own letting go of some of the human fears and limitations. Now, I also liked when you said about Jesus, because you're talking about him as a very evolved soul and loving being.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote, he could be gentle, but he could be right in your face if the situation called for it. He did not discriminate. He hung out with all kinds of people. He was a healer, and he cured people of pain, and he also felt their pain. As we evolve, we'll all become like that. Jesus loved women and children. He advocated the golden rule, and he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And he also said, you thank him, actually. You see, I know you love the best very much in your religion and in Jesus. You say, thank you, Jesus, for your love of children and for saying that if anyone harms a child, it would be better for him to have a milestone fastened around his neck and to be drowned. So
Of course, that's very pertinent to today with the whole scandal in the Catholic Church and the
I was
going to
talk about that earlier, but we didn't get to it. But yes, that is exactly what it is about. There has been so much scandal and so many people abusing other people, whether they're children, women, or people who are just different from ourselves. So, Joe, you wrote, "Thank you, Jesus, for not judging, for being fearless, and for expecting nothing in return, for love, and for doing the right thing." And you also wrote, "The truth will set you free." And that's what your book is about, the truth. And that is what this show is about. And I love it. And, you know, as I have come to know the greatest truth about our eternal nature and the blessings we create with our own actions and our own behavior, these words you wrote offer me the whole package of our physical life journey. In remembering our divine soul being, we can become free of the pains and challenges of the world. And we can know that it is our choice to believe what resonates in truth in our own heart or soul, and not the demands or requests of people who serve themselves through power and greed. So I want to thank you, Joe Wenke, for an unusual look at the Old and New Testament. As you suggest, it is with humor and candor that we can realize how much confusion, doubt, and unanswered questions surround the stories in the oldest book in the world, which is the Bible. And for a modern look at the fantasy contained in the stories and belief systems of past cultures and past times, read Joe Wenke's book, You Gotta Be Kidding, and go to www.joewenke.org. Is that correct? .org?
That's right, yes. And thank you so much. You've really summed up exactly what I'm trying to do. And I wholeheartedly support your dedication to positive energy and to discovering truth.
Well, let me just
summarize. Calling out people who want to prevent us.
Thank you. And in summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Joe and I have talked about the many ways to interpret the antiquated and limited rules and belief systems of many religious systems, which offer their own man-made versions of the Bible. Many of our cultural mores and prejudices and the inequality of marriage contracts, the lack of respect for different groups of people, such as women or children, perhaps homosexuals, and a lack of respect for human life comes from a misguided approach to religion. I'm also saying to see how primitive life and how poverty influenced many beliefs and practices creating pain and sorrow. I just saw a movie, Les Miserables, which touches on all the themes of our human experience, from the basest vibrations or instincts, jealousy, greed, and lust, to the most noble, pure love, redemption, freedom for all, possibly observing a truer realization of the purpose of the Bible and a clearer understanding of God's real intention for humanity, which may be to evolve and draw closer to the divine, achieving lives of distinction, trust, friendship, and harmony. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, and WebTalkRadio.net to hear leaders in the field of science, energy medicine, spirituality, and the arts share stories to improve your understanding of our energetic and also our physical lives for a healthier and more enlightened life experience.